No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
It certainly wasn't pretty, but effective nonetheless. Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. The Winnipeg Jets get back to 500, a record of 2-2-1 now, following tonight's 6-4 victory over the Nashville Predators, a game that the Jets had in hand multiple times, but to the Predators' credit, or to the Jets' deficiencies, depending on your point of view, the Predators were able to stay in the contest and battle hard, and the Jets, you know, were able to obviously win in the end, so they do get the full marks for the victory. But it wasn't pretty, and they certainly weren't able to shut it down, as the saying goes, late in that third period. Gentlemen, good to see you on this Saturday night. It has been a whopping about 10 hours since we last got together. I hope your lives have improved in those 10 hours drastically.
Yeah, boys, I thought, you know, the Jets put up a lot of points tonight, but the Bombers defeated the BC Lions 45-0. So obviously, you know, that number doesn't look quite as big. But yeah, I agree with you, Drew. I mean, this wasn't the prettiest game. Obviously, the clean 2 points is what matters at the end of the day. But, you know, after Nick Cousins' goal was disallowed on the offside, you know, mm-hmm. it looked like, you know, this was going to be a 6-3 win. And then, you know, they come right back. And, you know, we've talked about Philip Tomasino on this morning show. And, you know, he had a great game with a goal and an assist. And, you know, so give the Predators credit. They, you know, didn't die quietly, right? But certainly, you know, the penalty kill was not, you know, it wasn't an A-plus penalty kill tonight. Nope. And, you know, they let the Predators stick around. But, you know, I think, you know, we'll get into all the goals and everything like that. There were definitely no shortage of goals tonight. But what I liked is that the Jets were, you know, always able to, you know, find that response, right? Like we saw it in the first period when Adam Lowry scored after the Predators went up 1-0 on the Colton Sissons goal. And then in the third period when Roman Josi scored, the Jets came right back. What was that, 20 seconds later, 25 seconds later? Yeah. You know, just
26 seconds to be exact, but yes.
Yeah, 26 seconds. So, you know, that's what I liked. And mm-hmm. and that was a hallmark of the Jets teams, you know, from 2017 to 2019 when they were having the most success is that, you know, if another team scored, well, that didn't faze them. They'd go right back down the ice and score a goal. So that's what you like to see. I mean, just, you know, a great individual performance from Kyle Connor tonight. He had so many scoring chances, Dave. He could have easily had a hat trick. I really like Pierre-Luc Dubois' game. You know, he had a nice tip, obviously. You know, what were their 3 or 4 tip goals tonight? And, you know, that's what I like to see, you know, like just go to the net and, you know, tip pucks. And, you know, we haven't seen a lot of those types of goals from the Jets this year. But, you know, overall, you know, pretty solid effort. I mean, in the third period, it was pretty heavily dominated by the Predators. But you expect that when you're, you know, down 3 goals. But the first couple periods, I thought, you know, the Jets, for the most part, were in control. And, you know, it's just nice that they were able to, you know, follow up the win over the Ducks with the second win, because even without Wheeler and Shifley, boys, you know, this mm-hmm. Jets team, you know, you got to beat a team like the Predators. You know that Predators team, you know, the skill level is just not anywhere close to what you have, even without, you know, two of your best players. So overall, just a real gritty game. You know, you saw a fight. I really like Nathan Beaulieu's game a lot. And that's not easy, guys, to, you know, come in. You know, you didn't play a ton last year. And, you know, come in as a seventh defenseman playing 6, 7, 8 minutes. So he drops the gloves. As Dave said on Twitter, you know, you know the guys on the bench are really respecting that. So it wasn't pretty, but, you know, you got the win and you got a lot of goals. So
at the
end of the day, that's what's going to stand out.
I was watching the first period and a half with my kids, and then the fight started, and they had many questions as to why that is, you know, quote unquote allowed, and why they only get a 5-minute penalty, and why they're not kicked out of the game for dropping the gloves and punching each other in the face. That's one of those parenting moments that's not in the parenting guide necessarily, how to explain fighting in hockey to your kids. But you know, good opportunity nonetheless. Mr. Manuk, you are in the building tonight prior to rushing home for the post game show. I guess your thoughts from being high above the ice surface.
Well, first of all, I feel like Clark Kent. I think I understand what Superman had to go through trying to change.
Easy there. Easy.
I'm giving myself a little credit, Drew. Thank you very much. After I rushed like a maniac to get back, so I could do the post game show, so Ezzy would have a place to do the post game show, so the people wouldn't be subjected to the Drew Mandel experience. Trust me, I deserve a little kudos for what I was just able to do. Switch out of the suit and get here in time to do the show. So first of all, I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back.
You got a problem there, Super. You let Lex Luthor into your house on the way in.
Please. There's only one bald guy on this show, and that would be you, Lex. Thank you. Anyways.
I think I'm actually kryptonite is what I am. I'm just walking kryptonite.
You're something, all right. Anyways, it was an interesting game. I mean, it was Pierre-Luc Dubois, Kyle Connor, and Evgeny Svechnikov. That line has just looked so... I mean, again, early in the way it's been, you know, put together. But I've got to tell you, that's a good point, actually, Joe. I may have to get Ezzy a key, but a cat door, maybe not so much. But
it's going to have to be a big cat door.
Yeah, that's a big cat. But I really like that line. I thought the composition of it was excellent. And I thought it's interesting because Kyle Connor seems to be playing like more defensively with those guys. I liked Svechnikov's defense, made a nice play. I think it was in the second period where he got back, knocked the puck out of the air, turned it the other way. Pierre-Luc Dubois has looked phenomenal. I mean, he really has completely erased, I think. And I'm going to caution what I say because, you know, as I said, you know, you don't necessarily know exactly what you've got 5 games into the season. So, you know, 5 games does not make a season. But so far, Jets fans have to be really happy with the way 80 looks because it's like a complete reversal from what we saw from him last year. I mean, he's already got what, 4 goals in 5 games, and he had 8 and 41 last year for the Jets. So I mean, that line has looked really good. Christian Vesalainen, I mean, there's a guy we talked about earlier and changing his game and being, you know, physical and mm-hmm. adapting to what the coaches want from him with that line on with, you know, Adam Lowry and Jansen Harkins, and he gets rewarded with his first ever NHL goal. And don't worry, Robert. I mean, there's a lot of people who are eating crow about Pierre-Luc Dubois. And, you know, that's, again, it's early in the season, but I just think like the Jets without Scheifele, without Wheeler, mm-hmm. I mean, the Predators aren't a great team. There's no question about that. They've got some nice players. They've got some interesting players, but I mean, that game was closer than it probably should have been because it seemed like the Jets had the game in hand, but you know, Nashville kind of kept where they were opportunistic. So I just thought it was one of those. It was an interesting game. The crowd was more into it tonight. It seemed, you know, it was a Saturday night crowd, national game or something like that. So to me, it was a fun atmosphere.
Well, it was a fun atmosphere. And I mean, I look, everyone's happy the Jets get the victory, you know, but there are certainly areas of concern, and they're very similar to the areas of concern that I would say were entering the game, not the offense. The offense was certainly clicking and firing on all cylinders tonight, especially, you know, without Scheifele and Wheeler in your lineup, you know, mm-hmm. 6 goals, you know, nothing, that's nothing to sneeze at. But you look at this game and you look at these special teams, especially the penalty kill. If there's, you know, what did Nashville have? You know, at 5-on-5, they had, I believe, 2 goals at 5-on-5 and 2 on the power play. I mean, the Jets just can't be giving up that many goals on the PK. If it wasn't for the Arizona Coyotes, the Jets PK would be absolutely at the bottom of the league. I believe they're probably, you know, they're operating at a 50% success rate. Well, that's not a success rate. That's a failure rate as far as I'm concerned. And that needs to change. And you're now through, you know, you're now through 5 games of the season. So yeah, it's still a small sample size, but it's not like your key penalty killers are out of your lineup, you know, that you're waiting for them to come back to click things back into place. So to me, you know, the victory is good and you can feel good about the victory and the fans can celebrate the victory. But if you're really taking a sober look at tonight's game, there's a lot of warts in the Jets game, particularly their inability on the PK and their inability to really shut the game down. I mean, you know, if the Predators had more than one line that played in tonight's game, the Jets may have been in trouble. I mean, the only line for the Predators that I would say was, you know, noticeable on a regular basis was the Tanner Jeannot, Nick Cousins, Colton Sissons line. You know, Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchesne, you know, for your best players weren't there. I mean, which is what we talked about on this morning's show, how those guys can disappear for, large stretches of time. Nick Cousins played a whale of a hockey game tonight. I mean, he was absolutely everywhere, doing whatever it took for him to succeed and for his team to succeed. Unfortunately for the Predators, they just don't have, they haven't been able to clone Nick Cousins just yet.
Yeah, and to your point, Drew, about the Johansson, Matt Duchene, Forsberg line, obviously they didn't have any points. They were combined minus five. And yes, before, you know, anybody points out that, you know, plus minus is a, you know, a dinosaur statistic, I agree, but still they didn't have a great game. And you're right, Drew. I mean, those are the three best players. That's a super line. It's not, it's not one of the best super lines, but it is the three best forwards on the team. And, you know, those guys haven't got it done since really they signed their contracts. So, you know, they seem to have, you know, one good game and a couple of bad games. They're just inconsistent. That's why Duchene was exposed or not protected in the expansion draft. The Seattle Kraken could have taken Matt Duchene. And if you would have said that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, when Duchene was still in his prime, I mean, I think a lot of people would have been surprised. I think a lot of people would have been surprised that Seattle got an NHL team, but we're obviously super happy about that. And their home opener is, I think, happening right now,
right
if
now.
I'm not mistaken.
It is.
So
you are.
I agree, Drew. I mean, the penalty kill still is struggling, but like, let's stay on the positives here for a second, you know, in the sense that, you know, the Jets didn't give up a lot of high danger chances. And, you know, we have to mention that. I believe there were five total, only three at even strength. So, you know, up until that third period, I would say that, you know, the Jets were fairly in control of this game. And even though, you know, you don't like the fact that you gave up that late goal and Nashville made it a two-goal game, I think what you do like is that you're getting good performances from your veteran players and these lines are working out. And I saw, I believe it was Rob Somerville that was saying that, you know, the Connor line has to stay together with Dubois and Svechnikov, even when, you know, Wheeler and Scheifele return. At the very least, guys, I think you have to look at, you know, keeping a pair of those three players together, two of those three players together. And, you know, you'll have to figure that out. And I think what would probably make the most sense is, you know, Dubois and Connor. And I know Mike McIntyre, who we had on the morning show today, was saying that, you know, what if they went Kopp, Scheifele, Ehlers on that top line? I think I would like that line. And I think, you know, you've seen that a little bit, but not a ton. You're obviously going to have to figure out, you know, where Wheeler's going to go here. And he's not going to be back until next week. We don't know exactly when, but I think that's the main takeaway for me. Yes, I mean, they gave up a lot of goals. Kind of funny, guys, because we were talking about how the Predators, you know, have been averaging two goals. And then, of course, they score four tonight. It looked like they're even going to put in a fifth goal.
In a losing effort, which is that's what they got to be kicking themselves about there, Ezzy, is that, you know, a team that can't score in Nashville finally scores, but they also give up way more than they typically give up. I mean, the Jets, you know, you mentioned this, I think, you know, in your introductory soliloquy, talking about the pushback from the Jets. You know, every time Nashville scored, the Jets responded in kind. And that certainly is certainly a huge positive that you saw in tonight's game from the Jets, Dave. I mean, you know, Colton Sissons opens the scoring at a minute 15. It takes the Jets a minute 27 to tie it up. Adam Lowry showing off some nice hands there in tight for a guy who isn't really known as having great hands. He certainly was able to sneak that puck past UC Saros in tight. Very nicely done there. And then you mentioned the Roman Josi goal when, you know, that cut the lead. I think at that point in time, cut the lead to 4-3. And then Paul Stastny responds 26 seconds later. Boom, it's 5-3 for the Jets. So you have to like the when they got punched, they punched back quickly aspect of the Jets game tonight. And if that's something that they can bottle and carry with them throughout the course of, you know, the next three games on the road trip and the season as a whole, it will certainly serve them well, because it's demoralizing for a team to give up a goal that quickly after they get a goal. And it's that much of a boost to a team when they're able to respond just that quickly, Dave.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, you know, a good point, Drew. I think that the fact is that they weren't, to your point, weren't demoralized by these goals. I mean, you never want to give up a goal, and that's never a good thing, obviously. But at the same time, showing that you can bounce back, showing that you cannot fold and allow, you know, external, you know, oh no, like the doom and gloom and allow that to kind of get in into your game. That was important for the Jets. And so look, at the end of the day, there's NHL quality players on that Nashville team. Are they collectively a team that's going to be, you know, I mean, Philip Forsberg, was he in the game? Like it was crazy.
Very
like,
intermittently.
No, but I mean, it's shocking considering how good a player he is. Like, I'm there, guys. I'm watching the game from above. And, you know, being in the press box, you have that overview. The game is so much slower because you're kind of over it and you're watching from below. And everything looks so easy, which is why I think media often go, wow, you can do this. It's easy. Because
that's why they think they can do it.
Well, that's because we sit there and we watch and it seems so slow. Then you get down on ice level and you're like, ooh, it's a little faster than I expected.
It's not easy to sit. People think it's hard to just sit and watch hockey.
Yeah.
You got to type in one hand and eat the popcorn with the other. That's, you know, you got to be very skilled.
No, I made a vow. No popcorn. I'm not eating any popcorn this entire season. That's my vow. Although I did bring Ezzy a pop. I did subject Ezzy to eating popcorn when I brought him a box. But
I appreciated that. It was tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, look, they're just like, again, this is a Nashville team that doesn't look like they're going to be a factor at all. Like, you thought maybe they could make some noise. I mean, Soros made some nice saves. You know, Nikolai Ehlers, again, it's funny. Like, I was like, when he didn't get the assist on, what was the goal? Was it the Stastny goal that was tipped? It was a Pionk shot from Dylan across, and Ehlers had gotten it to Dylan. And Ehlers made that pass to Brendan Dylan like five times in the game where he hits, or in the last couple of games. It's amazing that it puts it right on his stick. And, you know, Dylan was able to get it over to Pionk, who again fired it, but he didn't get the assist on it. And it's funny because he's doing so many good things and he's not getting the reward. Obviously he got an assist. Got an assist on the Connor goal. And by the way, what a goal by Kyle Connor.
Yeah.
I mean, that Nate Schmidt, phenomenal pass. I mean, Nate Schmidt had three primary assists tonight, and, you know, offensively, he looks like he's really meshed with this Jets team. But Kyle Connor, that goal was phenomenal. And I really, again, I think Kyle Connor's game just seems to have changed a little bit with Pierre-Luc Dubois and Evgeny Svechnikov. And as he talked about that idea, like, I like Svechnikov with those guys. But, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor really seem to have found something as a duo. And, you know, Kyle Connor, it's almost like his defensive game is elevated a little bit. Pierre-Luc Dubois, his speed has tried to kind of match what Kyle Connor brings. They seem to be bringing out the best in each other, from my perspective, early in this sort of new relationship between the two of them. So I really like that duo. I would be surprised. I know what people are saying, that, you know, I tweeted out, you know, this line can't be broken up right away because they seem to be finding something. And a lot of people believe that, you know, the moment Blake Wheeler and Mark Scheifele are ready, it'll be done.
How many Paul Maurice gifts did you get?
I had quite a few. I had a few. There were at least, the good news was there were a few different ones, which was nice.
That's good.
There was a few other ones. Yeah. It wasn't the standard that, but there were a few. But the point is that I just like that chemistry that those two guys seem to be creating. And I think what Pierre-Luc Dubois is bringing out in Kyle Connor has been to his benefit. And similarly, what Kyle Connor has brought out in Pierre-Luc Dubois has been to his benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I mean, that was, I think, a big question mark when Scheifele and Wheeler went down, when they've been out of the lineup, and it's now been three games for Wheeler out of the lineup, and it's been two games for Scheifele, is, you know, what would become of Kyle Connor? And you're really, I think, seeing Kyle Connor step up in this adversity. I'm not going to say it's an opportunity, because I mean, Kyle Connor is a 40 goal scorer in this league. Mm-hmm. He's a tremendous offensive force in this league. That's not news, but you are seeing him sort of take on a leadership role, or take on a driver role in playing with new line mates and not being with Scheifele and Wheeler and the, you know, the effectiveness of that line. And I think that is really what's almost as most tantalizing for a lot of fans, in that they're seeing Kyle Connor as more than a one trick pony. You know, there's the, you know, because the there was always that small minority of silly people who would say, well, all Connor can do is score, as if that's not the hardest thing to do in the NHL. We need to trade him for, you know, whatever we can trade him for to improve the back end or whatever nonsense it is. You're now seeing Kyle Connor, you know, be a driver of a line, and being a guy who can control the game with the puck on his stick and be more than just sort of that one trick pony knock that some silly people had on him, Ezzy. That this is almost like a new dynamic Kyle Connor, and we're seeing him effective in roles, or effective in manners we're not used to seeing him perform in.
Yeah, well, and I agree, Drew, and you said it's not opportunity, but I think, you know, you know, we talked about it when, you know, TSN 1290 closed down, and that was your phrase, like, with adversity comes opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that, you know, this is an opportunity for him to take on more of a leadership role and to put the team on his back a little bit more. And I think, you know, you've seen the two players, if the Jets, you know, had been struggling these last three games. And the reason why I say, you know, three games is because, you know, they should have won that game and they did get a point. So I would say these three games, as you mentioned, those are the three games.
The one in Minnesota, you mean?
Right. That's when Wheeler first went out of the lineup with COVID-19.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, that was these last three games. Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor are the two players, in addition to Nikolaj Ehlers. But the reason why I don't include Ehlers is because I think he had played so well in the first couple of games that you knew he was going to continue to play well. I agree with Dave. Like, I wouldn't be shocked here if Ehlers goes on a crazy streak now with multi-point games. Like, he's playing really well.
Nobody should be worried about Nikolaj.
He's got one assist, but, you know, let's just, you know, pump the brakes here a little bit. He's played really well. There's a difference between playing poorly and having no points and playing well and having points. We've all played hockey, obviously not at anywhere close to the NHL level, even though I was the first pick in the Jewish B League. But, you know, like, we know what it's
worst
like when you play
ever.
Well. Well, and I mean, like, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, the line of Dubois, Connor, and Svechnikov. Like, the other line that I was really focusing on tonight, and I imagine you guys were too, is Lowry, Vesalainen, and mm-hmm. Harkins. And Harkins had four shots on net. He was playing a little bit on the power play, not a ton. I mean, the Jets didn't have a ton of power plays. I think he was under a minute on the power play. But, you know, Harkins was another guy, Dave. You know, and again, I've kind of taken over the co-president of the Harkins fan club. But, like, I just thought, you know, he was shooting the puck more. You know, he's just engaged, just, you know, taking advantage, again, what Drew just mentioned, of the opportunity, right? Because you thought at the beginning of the year, okay, Christian Vesalainen is probably going to be a lock in that third line. But then he was on the fourth line. Now he's back up on the third line with Harkins. So I've really liked what Harkins has done. And I just thought overall, guys, like, this game, there was a lot more focus and I thought a lot more execution and determination is another word I would throw out there, you know. And of course the Jets, we know, are at home. So, you know, they have the benefit of having the crowd and getting the boost from the crowd. But again, it goes back to what we said before. The Jets never let this game get out of control. And sure, they shouldn't have let the Predators back in it, you know, late by allowing that power play goal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just overall, I think this Jets team being at home, you know, being refocused, knowing that Scheifele and Wheeler aren't in the lineup, especially Wheeler, who's going to be out a little bit more long-term than Scheifele. I just like how they have, you know, dealt with this little adversity. Even though it's a cliche, it is adversity when you have Scheifele and Wheeler. Yeah. Those are two-thirds of your top line there. And, you know, the Jets have, you know, got 5 of 6 points. So I think you got to give them some credit here.
They've got 5 of 6 points and they've got what? How many goals? I mean, they got 6 tonight. They had 5 on Thursday night. And they have 5 the other night against Minnesota? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's 16 goals for in 3 games. So, I mean, the offense certainly hasn't been an issue. And that's without, you know, certainly your number one center and a guy, and Blake Wheeler, a guy who can still put points up at the NHL level. So the offense certainly not an issue for the Winnipeg Jets. There is still some holes in their defensive game that they need to shore up. And we mentioned the penalty kill. We don't need to really, you know, harp on it much longer. That's, you know, obviously the glaring concern number one for the Winnipeg Jets, that if you have to solidify anything, that needs to be where it is. And truthfully, if you had a hole in your game, you know, where would you want that hole to be? Well, you know, maybe the penalty kill might not be the worst place in the world for it to be, mm-hmm. you know, especially given the success that you're demonstrating at 5-on-5, where the vast majority of the game, of course, is played. You know, it's interesting. I'm looking over my second screen here and I'm looking at some of the numbers for tonight's game. And the Jets mm-hmm. truly didn't play. They entered the game playing 11-7. This was much closer to them playing 10 forwards tonight. Riley Nash, 4.5 minutes. I mean, so the Jets won tonight's game playing 10 forwards over the course of the 60 minutes of tonight's
game. And what did Toninato play?
Toninato was at...
He played more because he played on the penalty kill.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah. I'm just 7:23 for Toninato. So it's not like he had huge minutes himself. I mean, it was, you know, so the Jets are... We know how thin they are up front, given the absences of Scheifele and Wheeler and given the salary cap situation. But you're wondering if, you know, how much longer they can keep running, you know, basically 9 forwards, to your point there, Dave. Although, I mean, you know, 7:23, that's not unreasonable, I would suggest, for a guy mm-hmm. for a fourth line forward. But 4.5 minutes for Riley Nash, you know, I don't want to, you know, I liked the signing when it happened. I thought Riley Nash would have a role on this team. I'm not seeing what that role is right now. And, you know, 4.5 minutes on a night where you're really running, you know, you're just rotating guys in the entire time, leaves me with some concern about his effectiveness and the perception of his effectiveness from the coaching staff.
Well, first off, I agree. And sorry, Dave, you can jump in here in a second. Four and a half minutes. And he was out on the power play. I would have to look at
38 seconds of power play action.
Okay, so that's 30. That's just even crazier.
He was under 4 minutes at 5-on-5.
Exactly. So that's really surprising. You rarely see a forward, you know, that low. I mean, we saw it, you know, quite a bit last year with the Jets fourth line, but I'm not as concerned, Drew, with Riley Nash, because he's not going to be a staple on the power play. He's going to play some penalty kill. He's going to be a fourth line center, but yeah, his usage right now, I think, is not what we thought it was going to be, put it that way.
Right. And so when that's my comment would be to that, Dave, would be, when are they going to be able to use a Riley Nash? If it's not right now, if it's not in the situation where you're only got 11 forwards, you know, why is he going to all of a sudden get more minutes when the Jets are back at full strength? And frankly, when Shifley, we don't know when he's going to, that's, you know, argument's sake, if he's still asymptomatic, and we're really not sure, that's for argument's sake, he's still asymptomatic and he can come back in the lineup Tuesday or Thursday, one or the other. Wheeler, the earliest would be next Saturday. And even then, it would be hard to believe that he's necessarily going to jump right into the lineup, unless there's a practice on the Friday between the Kings game and the Sharks game. But for argument's sake, say Wheeler's back on Saturday, you shouldn't, from my perspective, take anyone out of the lineup except for Riley Nash. Veselainen and Svechnikov have certainly earned their spots in the Jets lineup more than Nash has over the past few games.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to figure out who you're going to have as center, though, right? You can't not have a fourth line center. I mean, it's kind of a critical position. You could throw Harkins there if you wanted to take him off the third line. But
Stasny, Stasny is there's you're right. You absolutely need a fourth line center. There's no question. But you'd hope that fourth line center, is playing more.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality is this team needs to roll lines, and we've talked about that. You don't need to overbalance, especially you need to get. And that's a challenge, but you need to get everybody engaged and playing minutes, right? So you can't, it's very hard. And if you're not, well, then like Riley Nash's entire game should be on the PK. Like he should be playing full time 2 minutes on the penalty kill. Yeah. I mean, obviously a little bit sarcastic, but really not, because why else are you draining other guys, right? If you're only going to use him that minimally, then. Yeah.
And obviously, in that situation, Dave, that we're talking about is Paul Stastny, right? Because Stastny's playing on the penalty kill as well. So that would be, I agree with you. Sorry to cut you off there, but I think, you're right. It would make sense for Nash to take those PK minutes.
Yeah. And that to me is like what, he was brought in because he's kind of a defensive specialist. Stuttering, right? Buddha. And so he really is. He's a bit of a, he's a defensive specialist. And he really was brought in to suppress goals against. Well, I mean, you could suppress goals against on the PK. That, would seem to be a good place to suppress some goals, especially from a Jets perspective. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting decision as to why they're running Nash the way they are. And, it's funny because when he came in the preseason, I thought he looked good. I really did. I thought he looked calm. I thought he looked kind of like what they needed in that fourth line. He didn't look slow. Like he's not a fast guy, but he's a
smart player, right, Dave? Like he's
That's what I mean. Like he's a smart veteran guy.
He's in the right places. There's not a lot of flash to his game. We know that. There's not going to be a lot of offense to his game. But if he stays on the power play, as we kind of been joking about, he'll probably get a few more goals as opposed to just playing on the penalty kill. But yeah, I mean, I think obvious. Reason why he didn't play as much tonight is, because of the score and, especially when the game got a little bit closer there in the third period. But still, I mean, it's very surprising that he's that low. You expect him to at least be close to 10 minutes, right? So, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We know that Shifley's going to come back. Well, we assume Shifley's going to come back before Wheeler. And then so what do you do there? Because, it looked kind of obvious who would be the next person to come out. But Veselainen is playing the best hockey of his career. And it's not just, his first NHL goal. He clearly wants to stay in the lineup and he wants to have more of a prominent role in the lineup. And same thing goes for Svechnikov. Like, he's not out of place, guys, on that second line. Not only is he not out of place, like, you can see the skill. And as Dave talked about, he's pretty responsible defensively as well. So I don't know how you take Svechnikov out of the lineup either.
And Dave talked about it this morning. He talked about, you know, Vesalainen having to change his game to fill the role that the Jets needed him to. And I think you really did see that in tonight. You know, there were a number of instances where he was, you know, grinding alongside the boards and using his size and using his body to really try and be effective both in the D zone and on the forecheck. And, you don't cheer, in the press box, but you can't help but feel good for a kid who finally gets his first NHL goal after he's had so many opportunities and he's had so many games. You never want to be that guy who comes into the NHL, especially a forward, comes into the NHL, plays a whole bunch of games and then just never gets off the schneid. So it was certainly good for Christian Vesalainen. And, the importance of pucks on net. I mean, tonight, as much as almost any game for both teams, throw the puck on net. And good things happen. The deflections happen. The Vesalainen goal, the Stastny goal. I mean, obviously Nashville had a couple of goals that, came in off of, Nick Cousins' goal that hit him and then fell at his feet and he hacked and backed and hacked it in past Hellebuck. It was one of those, and it was actually there was a good clip on Sportsnet that showed when they were coming back, it didn't have to be a hard shot on goal. It didn't have to be a rocket from the point. A few of them were almost soft little floaters that just mm-hmm. found their way through, and then they yeah. found sticks. And, it's a lot easier to tip a puck that's not moving at 400 kilometers an hour firing at your head as it is a puck that just gets through and you can get your stick on it. And then, good luck to the goalie trying to handle deflections like that. And even Connor Hellebuck had a couple where he made the save, but boy, that puck was moving and grooving all over the night, all over the ice tonight, and all over the front of the net on both the Jets and on the Predators end, guys.
Yeah, and I see a lot of, sorry, David, just going to quickly say a lot of comments about Vesalainen here, and he actually had four shots. I think earlier I might have said that Harkins had four shots. He didn't have four shots. I was thinking about Vesalainen on that mm-hmm. third line. I can, you guys can let me have that one because they were on the same line there with Adam Lowry in the middle. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, go ahead, Dave, but I agree. I mean, we are critical of Vesalainen's game, but I would say these last three games, I mean, have changed my opinion. I think that, he does want to stay on that third line. And I agree with Dave. He said this, since he's come up from the Moose, Vesalainen's a guy that's got to get the minutes and he's got to be put in a position to succeed. And I think right now it's, playing with Harkins and Lowry.
Yeah, I agree, Ezzy. And I think, it's from in a role that he's going to be successful in. And we've seen that in that transition. And one of the quotes from him talked about was a weight coming off my shoulders, a long time coming. And, Murat from The Athletic in Winnipeg tweeted a picture of of Vesalainen and listening to Nate Schmidt talk about, how he's come along in the process. So, it'll be interesting to see what Christian Vesalainen does with what this goal, how he just to score, having scored his first NHL goal, maybe it really just kind of galvanizes him. Maybe it gets him going. Maybe, he's got that confidence to continue to kind of say, look, what I'm doing is working. What I'm doing is giving me the trust of the coaching staff, and I'm having success scoring goals in that manner, because it wasn't the way he would have done it in, when he was playing in Liga. It wasn't the way he necessarily did it with the AHL, with the Moose. But now he's finding a different way to have success at the NHL level. And like I said, on this morning show, as Nate Schmidt told me, when they ask you what you can do, what can you do something in the NHL? You just say, yes. Yes, I can. So are you a right shot? Yes. Are you a left shot? Yes. You'll do whatever it takes. And so, it's a testament, because there's so, we talk about this a lot. We live in such a instant gratification society. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why you have to have success, because if you don't, A, someone else is going to take your spot, and B, you're going to be back down in the minors. So you can't play, he can't afford to play safe. He's got to play the game that they want him to play. Tonight also, one thing, he's always played left wing, right? He's never been a right winger. So that's the one thing that people have to kind of take into consideration with Christian Vesalainen, is he's played his whole career as a left winger. And so when the Jets asked him to move to the right wing, to my point, I just yes. said about 30 seconds, yes, that's the answer. But it also takes an adjustment, right? Because he's played the left side his whole career. Now he's moving over to the right. So I think that's just one of those factors that you have to kind of take into consideration when you're thinking about Christian Vesalainen. But again, credit to the kid who was able to, you know, get his first goal. And we'll see if this spurs on more success because he's got that confidence.
To your point, Dave, about saying yes, well, our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, one of the sponsors of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, sent me an email this afternoon and they said, hey, can you guys give away some tickets on the post-game show tonight? And of course, I said yes, so I'd like to do that right now. Four tickets to next Saturday's comedy show featuring Sean LeCumber at Rumors, 9:45 p.m. Congratulations to Troy Stevens. Troy, you won four tickets to go to Rumors next Saturday night. You do have to be 18 and older and fully vaccinated, of course. Please bring the proof of that. With your comment there on the screen, can we see a line with Svechi, Vessi, and Gussie? Simply because you did so much rhymey, you win four tickets to Rumors. So Troy, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or you can tweet me on Twitter @ICDrew. You can also send me a DM or send us a DM on the @IllegalCurve account. And Troy, I'll get you your four tickets to Rumors for next Saturday night. So congratulations to Troy. Let's take our break. When we come back, we have more giveaways. We're going to give away some bagels. You need some bagels to, of course, get you ready for the weekend. Dave is pointing, you get some bagels and you get some bagels and you get some bagels and you get some bagels. We also have a toque to give away from from Tough Duck. We'll look around everything that happened around the NHL, so far on a very busy Saturday. Stick with us. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube. We're live on all of our social media platforms. Saturday night, welcome back. It's the Illegal Curve hockey show, the Illegal Curve post-game show, to be precise. I am your host, Drew Mandel. Dave Minuk's head is on fire. Ezra Ginsberg is smiley as ever.
Repping the peg, baby.
You're repping the peg. You do like your peg hat, and that's good. A good night for Winnipeg sports fans. The Bombers with an absolute shellacking. I mean, the remote was getting a workout in my house, and the Bomber game was actually just bordering on comical. It was watching a high school football team play against a peewee football team. The BC Lions had no chance. They didn't want to be in Winnipeg from the get-go. The Bombers were toying with them, and it was, you just don't see professional athletes get dominated in that way. I mean, I haven't seen anything that dominant since I looked at the score between the Penguins and the Maple Leafs earlier tonight.
Isn't that amazing? Just unbelievable. Like, basically, the Leafs' best forward so far this season has been Michael Bunting. like I'm not joking. Like,
and they did, by the way, Drew, you left with the fact that Malkin and Crosby weren't playing, or Letang weren't playing.
And Jeff Carter. Yeah.
No Crosby, no Malkin, no Letang, and they win 7-1.
And no, like, Jeff Carter.
You can't make this stuff up. Yeah, and Jeff Carter.
It was just incredible. I mean, they're apoplectic in Toronto tonight. There's no question about that. And people in Winnipeg are celebrating. So certainly a better night for those who cheer for the Jets, and even a better night for those who engage in Schadenfreude at the Leafs' expense. With the Jets head out on the road now, and so they're back to 2-2-1, and they head out to Anaheim on Tuesday to wrap up the series with the Ducks, and then they have LA on Thursday, and it's very much a question if Drew Doughty will be in the Kings lineup after he suffered that knee injury. It sounds like it's a minor injury. It's not a serious injury. It looked a lot worse.
It looked bad.
It looked real worse. It looked real bad when it happened on a couple nights ago. And then, of course, on Saturday, they're into San Jose. I mean, this is, they've dug themselves very similar to a couple years ago when they went on that East Coast road trip to start the season and they struggled. They got blown out in New York, and then I think they lost in New Jersey, and they lost on the Isle, and then they beat Pittsburgh, if I recall correctly, and they dug themselves out of that hole.
And they come back.
That was your bachelor party, Drew.
No, that was a different. This was a different year than my bachelor party.
But wasn't I think in New Jersey? Didn't they cut? That was the game they came back. They were getting blown out. They came back and scored.
That was the Kulikov game. That was the Kulikov goal.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. They came back and won in the third period.
But they were. They didn't play particularly well.
The Kulikov goal. And the reason why you can't forget the Kulikov goal only one is because them. Exactly.
Yeah. There was only
one. And because we ran a contest on 1290, and we kept saying, if he scored or not. And people were like, I think it's going to be Kulikov. It's like, no, we know he didn't score a goal. Come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly right. So, that was funny also. In any event, the Jets they're back treading water. They're back to where they need to be. And that's why this three-game road trip, I mean, I think it is, you know, it's obviously not dire, but it's, I think, an important one. I think you want to keep the good vibes going. You have that opportunity again against three teams that should be, despite the San Jose Sharks' impressive play to start the season, should be below you in the standings. And that's why I think it really, you know, they got Tuesday in Anaheim, they got Thursday against the Kings. If they can go out and they can do what they've done in the last three games and go back on the road and do those three games, I think they'll be in a much better position at that point in time.
Yeah, and it's nice that we're going to see the Ducks on this road trip because we haven't seen them in a while. So, no, but I mean, like, yeah, you're right, Drew. I mean, these are three teams that you should beat, and they're all playing. I mean, look at San Jose. Like, we talked about that on this morning show. Like, they're just continuing to be impressive for a team that just doesn't really have very high expectations. Nobody's really expecting much out of the Sharks, and for that matter, I don't think many people are expecting much out of the Ducks. The Kings, I think, were that kind of favorite sexy pick for that kind of dark horse team to make the playoffs. So, I mean, all of these teams have skill, especially, you know, young skill in their lineup. These teams are all rebuilding here, but yeah, I mean, you want to continue the good feelings. You want to continue the winning streak here that they're on, even though it's only two games. It's still a winning streak. You don't have any back-to-backs. I mean, we expect Hellebuyck to play at least two of these three games. He might play all three of these games, depending on, you know, how the first one goes on Tuesday night. But wouldn't be surprised if Eric Comrie, as Dave mentioned, gets the start against LA, but he also might not get a start at all on this road trip. He might have to wait for that back-to-back on the 4th and 5th of November against Chicago and the Islanders. But yeah, I mean, you can never in the regular season take your foot off the gas. Like, we know that. Especially when you lose your first three games on the road. So yeah, the Jets are definitely feeling good, and they should feel good. They took care of business, as we talked about. It was a little bit ugly at times, right? Like, the Predators made it a one goal game and then, you know, clawed back to make it a two goal game there late in the third after Tomasino scored. But I think that you like how well your offense is going right now. Like, you know, without Scheifele and Wheeler, they haven't missed a beat. In fact, they're doing better offensively without those two guys. So that's surprising. But yeah, the penalty kill is the one thing that I would look at and say, you know, this is something that, you know, we need to have a game where we don't give up a power play goal at this point, right? So that's still something that's struggling. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if we do see different personnel out there. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Riley Nash, for example, was out there on the penalty kill on Tuesday.
Yeah, I mean, I think something's got to give on the penalty kill, because that's certainly... you know, that's, you know, everyone's number one talking point. If you have to talk about the area of concern, there's no question.
It's dead last in the NHL. The Jets.
I think isn't Arizona still worse than it? I mean, they're neck and neck in futility.
That's not really clawing it back there, Drew.
No, it's not. I mean, you don't want to be.
We're 31. We're not 32. That's kind of like that's the Monty Python. I'm not dead yet.
Can Arizona be demoted to the AHL?
Hey, you know, isn't it? Remember back when the San Jose Sharks were an expansion team the first year, and I think they won all like eight games in the entire season.
Drew, Jeff Hackett
and five of the wins were against the Jets that year. I mean, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know, it's that kind of thing. But yes, the Arizona Coyotes are also not a very good.
Shout out to
team.
Kelly Kissio.
Are you gonna name any more 1993 San Jose
Balloon,
Sharks?
Pat Balloon.
Pat Falloon.
Let's see what else Big Daddy has here. Johan Garpenlov.
Oh, that's another, he was a former.
He played the Red Wings, though, didn't he?
Penguins.
Doug Wilson was on that team, I believe.
And now he's
the GM. Is he the GM still?
Who else do I have here?
I don't know. I think we're down the rabbit hole. So, Ezzy, why don't you figure out who you're giving away some bagels to while Dave and I talk about?
You don't get more love for that Johan Garpenlov reference.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It was a good one. We gave you love. Yeah, we acknowledged you. That was enough. I thought the acknowledgement was more than enough.
Yeah, we credited that.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the other games involving Central Division teams. Or let's actually start with the Montreal Canadiens. Good night for Matthew
Perreault. How do you leave Matty Perreault out?
That's my apologies.
The French Prince.
Matty Perreault, you know, it gets a hat trick tonight on home ice. Wow. The Habs are off the schneid. They have their first win of the series of the season.
He looks so happy. I mean, it's actually hilarious. Like, I saw some of the videos that people were tweeting, and I just said, like, you know, he always used to get rad. He would talk about when he'd go back to Montreal, and his friends and family would always razz him about scoring, and he always seemed to actually score in Montreal against the Habs. So it's got to be. I mean, there was such a look of joy on his face when he scored his first one, and then finally when he got his third one, it was pretty hilarious. I think Sammy Niku had two assists in the game too. Yeah, so and Ben Chiarot might have scored. It was all former Jets. It was like
2017.
I don't know if Joel Armia scored, but it was quite a night for former Jets with the Montreal Canadiens.
Exactly. So the Habs are off the schneid. They won 6-1, so you can sort of feel the pressure release a little bit, at least until their next defeat in Montreal. The Avalanche, they got a big win in Tampa Bay in a shootout 4-3 over the Lightning. So both two teams that are expected to challenge for the Stanley Cup, off to a bit of a slow start for each of them this year. Avs improved to 2-3 now. Lightning dropped to 2-2-1. Tonight in New Jersey, the Devils continue their good play. They win in overtime, defeating the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres are finally, the juggernaut is no longer undefeated. The Sabres drop a game in overtime tonight to drop to 3-1-1. I guess they lost the game before that as well. Florida Panthers 5-0 on the season. They look damn good, especially with the goaltending they got from Sergei Bobrovsky tonight. You know, if they can get the $10 million goaltender to be impressive in addition to Spencer Knight and the lineup they have in front, watch out for those Florida Panthers. And then the game that we mentioned earlier with trying to stifle our laughter in Pittsburgh, the second half of a back-to-back for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Pittsburgh 7, Toronto 1. And Jason Spezza got the only goal for the Leafs. But boy, oh boy, if you don't think things are going to be on fire in Toronto tonight, then you haven't been paying close enough attention. The Leafs are struggling. Matthews and Marner are struggling. I think it's a little too soon to worry. We know the Leafs are built for the playoffs.
Drew, people are all expecting to go two rumors. This isn't supposed to be a comedy show.
Hey, I'm just practicing my material here before I head to rumors and practice it on stage there. And then another Central Division matchup, the St. Louis Blues. We talked about them briefly this morning, about how good they've looked. How about 7-3 victors tonight over the Los Angeles Kings? The Blues 5-0. To 4-0 on the season. Close.
Sorry, 4-0.
Yeah. Undefeated is undefeated, I think is what your point is there, Mr. Ginsburg. And, of course, still in action tonight, the Vancouver Canucks and the Seattle Kraken. And the Islanders are up 2-0 on the Coyotes. And I didn't mention the Flames 4-3 victors over the Capitals, and the Wild 4-3 victors over the Ducks, and the Rangers winning 3-2 this afternoon in the nation's capital in Ottawa.
As these are all things I could have learned.
That's 26 teams. Is there anything better? I don't care. I mean, I love it. I love it when there's this many teams playing. Like, to me, this is what it's all about. I wish there were 32 teams playing, but there's nothing better than when you have that many games on a given Saturday night. You've got a Bombers game. Like, let's go. Life is good, boys.
Life is good. Exactly. The Jets victor is the Bombers victors. Ezzy, who's a victor of some bagels and a toque on tonight's post game show?
Well, first off, I see Phyllis is in the chat here. At least she was a few minutes ago. And I believe we gave her the hardest hitting comment a couple of games ago, and I haven't received an email. So Phyllis, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. And we're going to send you a tough duck toque. For the bagels here, first off, we have to mention, you got to be living in Winnipeg to receive these bagels, because you have to go down to Bagelsmith. We're going to hook you up and send your name along for bagels. So if I do pick you and you're not from Winnipeg, obviously this isn't going to work out. It just, you know, it literally will not work out. So Chris
Merrill, he'll eat the bagels for you.
They might fly into Winnipeg for the bagels. I mean, I was there today and I picked up a dozen and a half bagels, let me tell you. And I would fly in for those bagels. That is
a dozen and a half, like 12 and a half, or you picked up 18?
No, a dozen and a half, I think, was fairly evident. Like, what was it? How could you get a half a bagel?
Well, I wasn't sure.
18.
Okay, that's
believe me. By the time they've handed Ezzy the first bagel set of bagels, he's already been into half of it. So trust me, he would understand.
Well, first off, 18. We know high. It's always a good. It's always a good number. First of all, we're gonna give it to Chris Merrills, because I know Chris Merrills is a good guy, and he's been a long time IC fan. At least I think he's been a long time IC fan. So Chris, we're gonna hook you up with half a dozen bagels.
By the way, nothing sums up Ezzy more than him saying you have to be in Winnipeg to win the contest. And then he picks someone
who may not be in Winnipeg.
And he picks someone who may not, in fact, be in Winnipeg. I mean, we love Ezzy, and that's the most Ezzy thing you could ever do.
I didn't see that comment. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were looking at it. So I thought you were looking at it when Drew highlighted it.
Ryan Tropp, there you go. You get half a dozen bagels. Where does Chris live? I don't think he lives in Winnipeg.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. If Chris, if you know, if you either live in Winnipeg or you know somebody who lives in Winnipeg, yeah. You want half a dozen bagels, send Ezzy an email and he'll hook you up or hook up your designee with some bagels from our friends at Bagelsmith.
Well, hold on a second. He's not in Winnipeg. So Ryan Tropp is the other guy. Ryan.
So now you're giving away a dozen bagels?
Well, no, because Chris isn't in Winnipeg, so he can't go get them.
But he can send somebody to go get them.
He lives in Ottawa. He's got family here.
Yeah, but so what, is the family going to eat the bagels for him?
Yeah, why not?
It's giving them away to your family.
I mean, if someone, you know, Blake at the Lake won the Moose tickets the last time, and you know, he didn't just use the ticket for himself. He took other people. Sometimes you can benefit other people from things you win.
Chris, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com. You get half a dozen bagels for a family member, and we're going to give half a dozen to Ryan Tropp as well.
Ryan, send Ezzy an email as well. Somehow Ezzy's going to be on the hook for 15,000 bagels, you know very well. And he's going to not be able to pay his mortgage next month because he's bought into a bagel franchise without knowing.
The best is last game, people were thinking that we were only going to give out bagels if Hellebuck got a shutout, but that's not the case. There's going to be bagels given away every single Jets home game this month and next month.
There you go. So basically, if Ezzy has mentioned your name, send him an email and you might get some bagels.
Chris already said his dad is on his way.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Congratulations to Chris and congratulations. Where does Chris live? Ottawa. Do you have reading comprehension? It's an honest question.
I do. Actually, it was my best section on the LSAT if we're talking about reading comprehension, but the rest of it wasn't so good. Those games really threw me for a loop. Got a 147, no big deal. I did take the LSAT course with Dan Manouk, so shout out to Dan Manouk. One of us became a prominent lawyer in Winnipeg. A lot of family in Ottawa, a lot of Ginsbergs in Ottawa, so we're just...
Well, this show is deteriorated.
We're just happy.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like at Thursday night when the game starts at 9:30 and we're trying to give away bagels at 1 a.m?
Can you imagine what the Illegal Curve postgame show is going to be when we're in our 70s? It's just going to be three senile guys not making any sense.
What? How's it different now? We're just not in our 70s. It might be three senile guys now. Do you have somebody? Anyway. Are you giving away the toque? Have you figured out who's got the hardest hitting comment tonight?
See, I did my preparation for that. C-Mac is going to get the Tough Duck Toque for the hardest hitting comment. The comment was from 9:23 tonight. Harkins and Vesalainen really showed their skill tonight. Some great stick handling, getting themselves into spots for chances. I agree. In a game in which, you know, some other players, you know, got the headlines, Nate Schmidt, 3 assists, you know, Stastny, 2 goals. I thought Vesalainen and Harkins really stood out with Lowry on that third line. So C-Mac, send me an email, Ezra@illegalcurve, and Tough Duck will send you a toque.
There you go. C-Mac, congratulations. Ezra@illegalcurve.com. Basically, if you've heard your name on tonight's postgame show, send somebody an email. We're going to hook you up either with Rumors tickets, with bagels, with a toque. Dave might give
moose
you
tickets.
I've got moose tickets coming. Moose tickets coming on. Hey, make sure you're paying attention to the postgame on Tuesday and Thursday, because I'm pretty sure I've got tickets for both next Saturday and Sunday's Moose games, which are afternoon games, which reminds me, tomorrow afternoon is also a Moose game. So pay attention to theilluccurve.com. Jets are off tomorrow, so the Moose will be your form of your team to focus on tomorrow. I'll have all that action covered from Canada Life tomorrow afternoon and on the website on illegalcurve.com.
Well, on that note, I don't think
smash that like button, folks.
Smash that like button.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, even if you don't like our hockey analysis, how can you not be entertained by the three of us jabbering at each other, trying to give away bagels, tickets, and toques? I mean, you can't go wrong with that. I'm reliably informed that Kenny and Rennie are starting and or have started, so you can keep the fun going with those fine gentlemen over there. Be sure to wish Kenny Wiebe a happy birthday, of course.
Fresh cut for Rennie. Not used to seeing that.
Yeah, we talked about that last game. It was a couple games ago we talked about that already.
Yeah, we did.
You're still a little overwhelmed by it?
I'm like 50 first dates, Drew. Like, you could say that every single show, and I'm going to forget it every single show. Have you seen that movie? You know what I'm talking about?
I have.
Yeah, Sandler and Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, yeah.
Okay. I mean, you guys are nice. Hang on, you guys film. Gonna go if I know you guys well enough, you guys might be settling in to watch 50 First Dates together when this post-game show ends.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, "That's my boy," which I was going to reveal that I may or may not have fallen asleep to watching last night.
How many times have you seen "That's My Boy"?
Enough to quote every single line in the movie.
I believe it. We can. I have that picture. Remember the fan that?
Oh, that's the best.
Superimposed you guys. Yeah. Superimposed us into into him. That's my boy. Anyways, we digress, and I think that could be the slogan of this show. Big thank you to all of our sponsors: Rumors Restaurant, Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, Bagelsmith, Tough Duck. Did I miss anybody? I said Zappia Group Realty, our Boston Pizza, of course, our friends at Seagram. Support all of these fine businesses. They make this show possible. They might be regretting that after tonight's show. I'm not 100% sure, but hopefully they'll stick with us for a little while longer. Hey, we did a show this morning and we did a show tonight. We're a little punchy at 10 o'clock. Phyllis is asking, so do I still get the hat even if you're not in Winnipeg? Yes, send Ezra an email. He will get you the hat. Ezra@illegalcurve.com, @ICEZG. Same thing with Troy and the Rumors ticket.
Phyllis, send you could be living email. You could be living in the North Pole and we're going to send you a toque. You get that toque, baby.
She would need a toque if she's living in the North Pole.
You would hope she'd have a toque already, but you can always get a you can always have enough toques too. Yeah. And Troy, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com.
Who's going to send me an email?
Drew. Dave, I'll send you an email just to make you feel loved. I'll just send you just a giant heart, something like that. Thank you to everybody for joining us. It's been a very fun day. It's been a very long day, but it's been a fun day. We'll be back Tuesday night with the post-game show. That'll be a late one, probably a little bit just before midnight. But we do it for you guys, and we appreciate you joining us each and every time. So for Dave Manuk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Until Tuesday night's post-game show, right around 11:45 p.m. We wish you good night and good luck. And thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow @IllegalCurve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.